Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, 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 hey,
hey. Alright. Give it to me, man.
What am I giving to you?
I'm looking at this text line, and the package was smaller because Woods couldn't run the whole defense. What does that even mean?
I have no idea. He had no comprehension of what his defense could possibly do, I guess.
So he had...
Listen, we're comparing one of the best defensive coordinators in NFL history, Wade Phillips, to a guy who should never have got the job.
Right, but to imply...
So that's a tough deal.
That he didn't know the defense... Yeah, could he have called different calls? Clearly. But to imply that he didn't know the defense... It's just...
Oh, hold on now. Joe Akeem Tlaib in that same article actually came out and said it was like a beta version of Wade Phillips' offense or defense to the point where they just didn't have the packages and sets that they had back when Wade Phillips was coordinating.
Yeah, because Joe Woods had, you know, he had to keep it simple for himself.
For himself or for his new safeties?
For himself.
For his new safeties, Justin Simmons, who...
Oh, really? You got to keep things simple for one of the smartest guys I've met on the Broncos?
Who...
I think he's quite capable of handling
after
that.
Several plays last year,
he and Darren Stewart would have been a different conversation.
Are pointing to each other, and I know who's wrong and I know who's right.
Mm.
There were several times where Justin Simmons was not in the right spot, didn't make the right call, didn't make the right adjustment. So what is the point of running the entire package if it can't be run correctly? I'm not willing to go out on a limb and say Joe Woods deserves to be in Canton because, you know, he's such an incredible defensive coordinator.
I don't know if he deserves to drive in Canton.
But to imply that an NFL defensive coordinator
thank you
did not know the defense.
It's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Is a step too far for me.
Well, it's certainly what Tlaib was implying.
No. He said we didn't call it all.
Chad. You want to read it again for Chad, Big Sexy?
Let me grab it real quick.
You
got to
understand something. I don't support everything. Like, you know, Tlaib, everything with Tlaib, you got to take with a grain of salt.
Right.
I mean, I understand that, okay?
We have to understand the source of this.
Right. I'm with you on that.
Okay.
I get you.
All right.
But
okay.
That statement that Tlaib said is more in line with the truth that I believe. So I'm inclined to sort of go with it, I guess, because... This is me being out there. This is me talking to the guys. This is me watching Joe. Joe was an interesting cat because he's like the friendliest guy in the world. So a lot of people, like, you want to like Joe Woods. Like, Joe Woods is the type of dude that makes everybody feel okie-dokie and how you doing. You got any more questions and how are you? And hey, you know, this sort of stuff. I told you, like, he's like a good guy to be around.
Okay, but you
not like Rick Dennison, who really made you want to, like, you know, jump off a bridge.
Let me get the quote out.
Give me my turn.
Tlaib says the Broncos ran the same scheme in its beta version. Quote, it was the same defense, but we called less stuff. Wade really had it wide open, and it wasn't as open in 2017. It was like the beginning stages of Wade. It was new to this coach, so things were less disguised with fewer calls.
There you go.
If 40 calls were available to us in a game in 2016, we had half of that last season.
Okay, you talked about Akeem Tlaib. He's going to get lit up this year.
Lit up
last year?
He was getting there.
Okay.
It was happening.
So as a defensive coordinator.
It was starting to happen.
If your potential Hall of Fame cornerback is getting lit up, do you call more blitzes or do you keep things a little simpler?
That's a good question.
Okay, you know what the answer is. At CU, when we won a national championship, virtually every player on our defense played in the NFL. One guy didn't. Alex Gibbs' son, David Gibbs, cornerback. Rather physically limited. Couldn't go with blitzes despite having all this NFL talent because you got a cornerback who you can't fully trust in blitz situations. Same type of thing. The exact same type of thing. There's certain things you need to be able to open up the package. It's literally impossible for me to feel comfortable with folks saying that Joe Woods didn't know the defense. Did he feel as comfortable? Did he have all the tricks that Wade Phillips had? No, it's impossible. It's his first year versus a guy who's been doing it for 40 years.
Right.
But he knew the defense.
Okay.
He can get up here and draw up the defense, every defense for us, in detail.
He was so over his head. But, okay. Okay. Okay.
No. I'm not saying he was great.
Okay.
I'm not saying he was great.
I'm a little distracted right now because they're interviewing Chase Keesom on ESPN literally right now.
On a bus.
Yeah, he's on a bus. It's the ESPYs.
Hopefully they got his name right.
Who's he sitting nearby? You recognize anybody else? Is that Altuve, like right behind him?
I'm not sure.
Stephon Diggs is there. Is that Altuve right behind him? The little guy who's in the booster seat. It looks like it is Altuve, right? Why are they on a bus?
Because they have to time up the arrivals. You can't just show up in your own car and jump out on the red carpet at the ESPYs. You have to time the arrivals.
That's kind of weird.
For interviews, for photos.
Did she screw up the... I don't know who was doing the interview, but did she screw up his name or she nail it? Case? So Stephon Diggs was there. Jose Altuve was there. And the person they interview was...
Chase Keesom.
There's T.O.
Talking about the Canadian League, I'm sure.
Yeah. The Canadian League.
He's going to go play in the Canadian League. He's got a 10-day offer sheet.
I didn't know that. Really? Seriously?
He wants to get back and play again.
Wow.
No offers from the NFL. A Canadian team issued a 10-day offer sheet. He has 10 days to accept that offer. He'd like to play again.
He looks in great shape.
Yeah, just because you look like you're in great shape doesn't mean you are.
I know. I feel you.
And just because you ran a fast 40
doesn't
mean you can stop and start and play wide receiver.
I can play in Canada.
Well, you still got to stop and start.
Yeah, it'd be fine.
Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick. They're now an item.
Yeah, well, she's hosting.
They're showing up together at the ESPYs.
The ESPYs ultimately are a really dumb show, but sometimes interesting things happen. Do we have a little Chase Keesom? Do we got that? Or... going back to his Minnesota days.
Yeah, for you, in those types of moments, you know what's on the line. When you look back at it, do you remember actually the ball leaving your hand, anything like that? Does it come back to you at all?
Yeah, there's some flashes. I mean, I remember being in the huddle and telling these guys, I'm just going to give one of y'all a chance. I didn't know who it would be, but I just wanted to give somebody a chance. And I gave this guy a chance, and the rest is history. That's for sure.
This guy over here.
I gave this guy, forgot his name. This guy. My guy. He's my guy. I gave this guy a chance. Such a lucky play.
I gave this guy a chance and the rest is history. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rest is history. Here's how the history went. The team that I helped get that far decided to go with another quarterback. I mean, that is cold-hearted. I mean, think what Case Keenum did for the Vikings last year.
He did his job.
And his reward at the end of all of it was basically being fired.
I'd like to introduce you to the new starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos, Case Keenum.
They thought they found a way to improve their team. Is the Vikings bad guys in this scenario?
No. It's just it's a tough deal, though.
It's tough.
It's a tough deal.
But I'm not surprised by the NFL team's behavior.
It's not the wrong decision. I think Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Case Keenum. But, boy, oh, boy, that's a tough moment. You're doing the skull chant because the Saints have already left the field, and you're just, what a moment right there. You got so lucky. That cornerback, I'm forgetting the cornerback's name, or the safety, whoever it was, Lattimore. Like the worst tackling approach ever. I mean, that was just so bad.
And as I said, a terrific defense in Philadelphia. And the Skull Chant led by the new hero, Case Keenum.
That was cool. I mean, you got to give the guy credit, man.
It's cool sitting here watching it, I'll be honest with you.
I tell you what, it was an awesome moment.
Text line is calling Terrell Owens a gym rat, by the way.
Okay, that's cool.
I lift things up and put them down.
If we are sitting there in a divisional game and Case Keenum is leading us all in some sort of group cheer or whatever, man, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I mean, I'm all for it. I was lucky you were too. I believe you were there. I think you were there. To be there when Tebow beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
You probably didn't take it the same way. You're a Steeler, but I mean.
The Steelers don't give me a paycheck anymore.
Right, but you can't deny the atmosphere in that stadium at that moment.
It was incredible.
Whew. You know, never mind, you know, winning two AFC championships at home with Peyton Manning. Both amazing moments.
On the field for both of those?
Yeah, I mean, golly, if Case Keenum can lead the Broncos to a moment like that. I hope so. I so hope so.
Do we?
I hope I'm wrong about so many things.
You aren't the only one who feels that way.
There's a difference between I hope I'm wrong and, you know, I think you are wrong. But here's what I hope I'm wrong about. I hope I'm wrong about Joe Woods. I hope he actually knows how to be a defensive coordinator. I don't think he does, but I hope I'm wrong. I know Case Keenum's a good quarterback, so there's nothing to be wrong about there. I think he's completely capable of leading any team in the NFL to the playoffs. I think he's probably about the 20th best quarterback in the National Football League. That's, you know, more or less what he gets paid like. And I think anybody who's in the top 20 in the world at playing quarterback is absolutely good enough to get his team into the playoffs. Do you know how hard it is to be in the top 20 of anything in this world? If you're in the top 20 of what you do, you're one of the best people in the world at what you do.
Right.
You're probably very well compensated. It's really, 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 really hard to be in the top 20 of anything in this world.
True.
And Case Keenum, without a doubt, is one of the top 20 quarterbacks in the world, in my opinion.
True.
So he gives you a shot. That's awesome. Trevor Siemian, I mean, top 20, maybe top 200. Paxton Lynch, I don't think he even gets invited to look at the list. Mark Sanchez? I mean, are you kidding me? But then you had Peyton Manning, who not only was top 20, he was top like 3. That's pretty cool.
With as high as the bar has been set by John Elway and then Peyton Manning, can the Broncos fans be happy with the 20th best quarterback in the NFL?
It's the best they could have done this year.
That's not what I asked.
I don't know. You needed to back that up with, you know, a potential top 5 quarterback in the future, and you didn't do it. You're putting stock into Paxton Lynch turning out to be a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Right.
So not going to do
did
it.
Did you answer the question? Can the Broncos fans be happy? If Case Keenum is the 20th ranked quarterback in the NFL this season, are Bronco fans happy about that?
I think they're okay with that.
Considering how bad it's been the last 2 years.
Yes, yes.
So it's all contextual.
Yes. Yes, well said. So I hope I'm not wrong about Case Keenum. I think I know exactly who he is and what his capabilities are, and there's a huge upside. So I don't think I'm wrong about that. I hope I'm wrong about Vance Joseph. Because right now, I got Vance Joseph being fired after like week 6.
Yeah, that's what you said earlier.
I got him as even if they're a 500 team after week 6, I see some of their losses going poorly. And I just see the Broncos saying, you know what, we got a good enough team that we just got to be led in a better direction. So I hope I'm wrong about that, Chad. Because if I'm wrong about that, the Broncos, after, you know, 6 weeks, are 5-1 or 4-2. So, you know, I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope I'm wrong about Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas. I think they're basically older, middle-of-the-road wide receivers, and I don't really expect much out of either of those guys. I hope I'm wrong about that. I hope they both have over 80-something catches and can convert some of those catches. Chad, give me a touchdown or two, right? I mean, give me something.
Right.
I don't think I'm really going to get that out of them this year, so I hope I'm wrong about that.
Which of your hopeful wrongness do you hope the most to be wrong about?
That's a good question.
Because you laid out a pretty good list of things you're hoping to be wrong on.
Yeah, because defensively, I don't think I'm going to be wrong about anything. You know, I don't think there's anything I think that I'm, you know, that I'm certain about that's necessarily all that bad. I think Darian Stewart could be a veteran cut in camp, especially with Sua Cravens coming in, Justin Simmons, Will Parks. I mean, it's looking a little tight there for you know, Stewart. Wouldn't you agree with me on that?
He, if you look around the defense, he seems to be the most likely guy who fit in that category, the veteran cut guy.
Right. It happens. Usually there's one guy every year, sometimes two, but usually there's one guy. TJ Ward was it last year. It's looking like it'll
Darian Stewart, for the most part, has been healthy. TJ was banged up.
We'll see.
Guys like Sua Cravens. There's question marks about his ability to stay healthy.
Right. You're right about all of it.
So I see both sides of the Darian Stewart argument.
All right, but I'm not thinking definitively about it one way or the other, right. nor do I hope I'm wrong about it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I think the cornerback situation is, dicey. And we'll see. With Chris Harris and Roby and the rest of, you know, the fellas, well, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Who's third QB? I mean,
what's his face from BC, the draft pick? I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. Sorry.
Langley?
Yadam. Isaac Yadam. Is he your, you know, third cornerback?
You need three. And
I mean, he's a third-round draft pick.
Langley, Tremaine Brock, third-round draft picks play.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't have high expectations for the... Okay, that'd be great. All right, that'd be something. You know what? I think the offensive line is going to be pretty mediocre. I hope I'm wrong about that. Boy, if I had to be wrong about anything, it's that the offensive line is going to be great. Because I don't think they're going to be great. I think they're going to be okay. So I'd love to be wrong about that. If they're great, we are in for an awesome season.
If they are a top 10 group?
Yeah.
That changes the whole dynamic offensively,
yes.
Which then has its ripple effect towards the defense.
I just don't think they're going to be like that. That would be great to be wrong about that. That would be the number one thing if I could be wrong about something. It'd be that this offensive line is actually special. That would be great. I think Cortland Sutton's going to be a terrific player. I think Deshaun Hamilton's going to be terrific. I think Royce Freeman is going to be very effective. I think Devontae Booker will be fine. I think they'll figure out. I think the kicking game got a little better with Marquette King. I think Brandon McManus will be more consistent.
The King is here.
I think Von Miller's going to have a solid year, not spectacular. I think Bradley Chubb's going to have a solid year, not spectacular. I think Brandon Marshall will be in his last year with the Denver Broncos. I don't think I'm going to be wrong about that. I don't know. I think we're going to average about 19. I think we're going to average about 19 to 20 points a game. That'd be nice to be wrong about, right?
You do that, it gives you a defense a chance to win.
Yeah.
Defensively, the goal is always 14 or 17 points or less, we will win. And that, if we hold people to that, we expect our offense to do 20 points, we will win.
I do think Vance Joseph will get canned. So, but I don't know if I, you know, hope I'm... That doesn't top the offensive line. So, I think the Broncos can make the playoffs, but I think it's going to come with another head coach besides Vance Joseph. I think there'll be a transition somewhere relatively early in the season. I think that almost happened. That was the whole sleep on it game, right? So I think there'll be some sort of transition to a more effective head coach. I think you could possibly see a shift in defensive coordinator at some point. But I could see it all happening in a very positive way. You looking through the schedule a little bit?
I'm looking at the schedule, and I wasn't looking at your face, but changing defensive coordinators and replacing the head coach, and it's all going to happen in a very positive way.
Yeah.
Who's this great DC who's going to be ready to step in midseason? Because I know there's a head coach
that's a
working
tough one.
At the Broncos facility right now.
Yeah, that's a tough
one. That one's easy for me to recognize.
DC, the DC's tough.
Right. Who's it going to be?
That's actually, you know what?
I'll probably be busy calling games, so I might not be able to take that job.
You know what? I should probably retract that one, because you ain't giving that job to Bill Kolar or Reggie Herring, that's for sure. I mean, their heads would explode. I mean, yeah, maybe I'll – if you're pretty committed to Joe Woods – yeah, you may be right on that. There's a bunch of guys that could jump in at head coach, but there's not a bunch of guys that could step in at DC. You're right about that. Yeah, I'll take that one back.
I mean, last year we had a bunch of guys who could call plays offensively. So
right,
who was
right.
the OC really didn't matter.
Right.
Not the same on the defensive side.
You're right about that.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so you got me.
I wasn't trying to get you.
Joe Woods is, we'll see if he can just figure out, where the lunchroom is.
Hate. Joe Woods hate today.
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to be wrong about VJ, though. I don't think so. I think VJ knows it. I think everybody knows it.
Let's hope not.
Oh, you don't think VJ thinks he's on the hot seat?
Oh, I think he's on the hot seat. I think he's talking about he's going to be fired after week six.
Goes with the twos. If the twos mean you're packing up a cardboard box and escaping in the middle of the night like Josh McDaniels, fine. That's what you go with.
Sleep with the fishes.
Oh, my God, man.
I don't know, man. Hosting Seattle, that's got to be a win. If you don't beat Seattle, you got trouble. That team, holy cow.
How many question marks do they have?
Oh, my gosh.
Everything's new there, except for the quarterback.
If you can't beat Seattle at home, you got trouble. You got to win that game. That's got to be a W, right?
Right.
Check out what's happening in Seattle. It is a mess right now. Woo!
But with so much unknown.
Got good coaches, though.
First game of the season, they could surprise you.
Oakland at home with John Gruden. He is going to be in for a nightmare season. You got to win that game, too.
I'm not agreeing with you on the nightmare season for the Raiders.
You think they got a shot? I'm saying right now, you got to be 2-0. Like, you could not have on your schedule two better games to start the season. Both at home, both against opponents that you should beat.
What's the scariest thing for coaches? Unknown. You got a Seattle team coming here
with so many
unknowns about them. You have no idea what that team is going to be. No one in the league outside of Seattle has any idea what that team is going to be.
These are like two of the most winnable games on your entire schedule, and they're the first two games of the season.
Both of them have high-level quarterbacks.
Everybody in the NFL's got a high-level quarterback.
No, they don't.
At Baltimore, I don't know how you win that one. And then home against Kansas City.
That's a tough one.
That's where the rubber's going to meet the road.
That's where defensively we'll see where things are, because they've got three weapons and a quarterback who can deliver the ball to all three weapons.
At the Jets, this is your easiest road game of the year.
Seemingly.
On the surface, it's your easiest. Now, nothing was easy last year. But on the surface, this is your easiest road game of the year. This is not a killer schedule to open the season.
No.
Would you agree with me on that?
I would agree with that. There are opportunities there. The Rams, week six, that will test the offensive line
probably
more than any of those other first five games.
That could be the, if you're rocking a 2-3 record into that Rams game, and you risk getting humiliated by the Rams at home. I mean, the Rams right now on the surface, they got it all.
They got a super team.
They got a great defensive coordinator. They got a great head coach. They got a great quarterback. They got a great defense. They got perhaps the best running back, maybe, in Gurley. They got it going.
Weapons. Brad just got Cooks $80 million deal.
By the way, I think Stan Kroenke is throwing a couple bucks there. I feel pretty confident with Stan Kroenke, like the wealthiest sports business owner in the world, being my boss too. If you're 2-3 and you go in this game and you lose by 30 or you lose by 20 or something like that, there is no way VJ escapes after that. And it's a perfect time to fire him, by the way, because you turn around for a Thursday night game, in Arizona in the desert.
Fire a coach on the short week?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the week's so screwed up anyway, let's make it even screwier.
Right.
This will give us a great chance to win.
It won't matter, though. But you see what happens? It won't matter. Because you'll have Musgrave, you know, calling the offense. You'll have Joe Woods calling the defense. You fire VJ that week. All you do is you put Tom McMahon, probably the special teams coordinator, who's kind of a mature adult sort of guy, just like you did with Joe DeCamillis when Kubiak had his health problems. And that happened on a short week too, by the way, if you remember.
Right.
And same type of thing, because your special teams guy kind of touches everybody. So he just sort of runs the coaches. Nothing really changes. I'm not saying even that McMahon would stay the head coach, because it would just be a matter of time before Gary Kubiak is inserted as, you know, sort of this, you know, hey, I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to come in on the horse with the white hat and y'all and, you know, fixing to find out. And, yeah, you know, get my dyed hair and, you know, you're going to come in there and sort of save the day. So that game in Arizona, who knows? But if Gary Kubiak comes and you're playing at Kansas City in the next week and he turns that team around and you get a W, woo! Now I'm talking. Now we go on a roll. Now we go to Houston where Gary Kubiak's, you know, from. We get a W there. You get a bye week. You go out to the Soccer Palace in L.A. to play the Chargers. You win there. And then Pittsburgh at home. Woo!
You just pass the Chargers up like they're not a good team.
Right, I know. I'm going fast here. Okay. Get to my little scenario because we got to get 10-6. But you got to get 10-6. So you can't wait too long when you're about to can VJ and you're already 2-4.
Okay.
All right. You best in week six be 4-2 or 5-1. You best be 4-2 or 5-1. Or we're making some changes. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
From the fan center update room, what you got on a
so per Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, he is saying the Manny Machado trade to the Dodgers is official.
Okay,
so Manny Machado is a Los Angeles Dodger.
Interviewing him during the game last night in the dugout about the how do you feel about the last time wearing this Orioles jersey.
Right. It was just a matter of time.
Right. So he's going to the Dodgers.
So he is a Dodger.
That's
and
awful.
He is going for 5 prospects. No cash will be sent in the deal.
Yeah.
And he will be a Dodger for at least 66 games.
That's a good move by the Dodgers. Dang.
Did you like Joe Buck interviewing players during the game?
When they
were on the field? You like that?
Lindor was hysterical. Uh-huh. Charlie Blackman was great, except for they, you know, went yard during the time there. I loved it. I thought it was terrific. Charlie Blackman talking about, like, how nothing really happens in the outfield, and I just want to, like, look around and see what's happening.
And there's a ball over his head.
Hey, that didn't happen, but there's the biggest TV I've ever seen over there. And, you know, I thought it was a great insight. You caught Lindor talking in Spanish to, you know, some dude who can't, guy, I forget who it was, but a guy who was on second base. You hear the little, you know, back and forth conversations that happen amongst the players. It's very common in the communication of baseball. And then you got Charlie, a good question about, hey, are you sick about hearing about home and road splits and, you know, your performance at Coors Field? Are you sick of that? And Charlie was like, yeah, actually, I am sick of it. You know, we never, when we have Rockies guys on, we never go there. But it's reasonable that when they go away from Coors Field, they sort of get that crap all the time. You know, his point was Nolan Arenado is going to be great no matter what ballpark you're in. And he's right. And so would Charlie Blackman. And by the way, during the All-Star game last night, Blackman on a 2-1 count takes a curveball like a mile outside the strike zone. and the umpires, who should really just be ball holders, calls a strike on it, and then Charlie's like, oh my God, this guy's insane. And then the next pitch, he's swinging at the dirt. But that sometimes can happen, Chad, when you realize the umpire behind the catcher does not know what he's doing.
Yeah, then you got to take things into your own hands. Yeah.
Great.
Any ball's coming, I got to swing because I don't know what a strike zone is.
Right.
I understand it.
We need, just really quick, put the lasers in, put an earpiece in the ball holder's ears, okay, and be done with it. And they can say safer out at home plate because every, like, 50 games there's a close play at home plate. And usually the guy just runs across the base or it's obvious that he's tagged out, you know, that sort of thing. So essentially all you need is for somebody to throw and give the catcher a ball. That's all you really need behind the plate. We have some other way to indicate balls and strikes. We'll have a universal strike zone. We have the technology in every single major league ballpark to do it. They've already tested it out in minor league games. Look at the Real Sports special when they used, what's-his-face, who slid Eric Byrne. Go watch that, and you'll see it's way more effective. The percentage of balls and strikes would be way better if that way, and it does not slow down the game. And just put a dude behind the plate to hold the baseballs.
I agree with that. Would baseball broadcast be better if they had mic'd up moments like they have in football?
Absolutely.
Because every single football game,
awesome.
There's at least two or three guys per team
that
are mic'd up.
Yes, of course. It would absolutely enhance the broadcast. And you could do it so it's all positive stuff. You know, yeah, of course it would be better.
So not the interview style.
I don't know how you do that, though, in baseball in terms of the technology itself.
The transponders are really small.
Yeah, but in football, they can literally just fit right into a pad. You wouldn't even realize you had it on.
Yeah.
How would you do that in baseball?
You'd have to do it someplace where you're less likely to fall. It would have to be, you know, in your waistband on the back because you're going to slide on your hips.
Okay.
You wouldn't want it on the front in case you do Pete Rose.
Right.
On your back would be the only place you'd have to cushion it a little bit. But those things used to be...
They're real small, though?
They used to be maybe 4x5.
If you were...
4x6. Now literally like 2x3. Like the size, smaller than a deck of cards.
Most major league players... Almost all of them wear some sort of undershirt under their shirt.
Right.
Could you sew in a little pocket or something that it would fit? I've never really seen one, so I'll take your word on it. It would be great for the broadcast.
Because a lot of NFL teams do the GPS things in their undershirts when they have non-padded practices so they can track how many miles guys are running during practice. It's about the same size as that GPS thing. It wouldn't be that difficult. And you would love it.
I'd love it. I thought it was so entertaining.
Now, whenever I was mic'd up, I felt obligated to tell people who I was talking to, hey, man, you know I'm mic'd up, right? hey, man, they got me mic'd up this game. Be careful what you say. Now, once the game got rolling, you lost track of that and you didn't do the formality.
Yeah, but it's an agreement that they're not going to do things to embarrass you or the other players.
True.
I've never seen mic'd up moments that everybody wasn't kind of clear with. I mean, there have been some tough moments on Hard Knocks, I guess.
But those aren't mic'd up. That's just you getting cut.
Yeah, well, they got some guys mic'd up during that.
They do.
I don't know. I love it. Bring me closer.
Okay.
I think the vast majority of real sports fans, we want to be there.
Want to be on the field. Close as possible.
We want to be as close as possible. Put us there.
What? What kind of conversations happen on a major league field? Is there...
Not a lot. No.
So would it be compelling content?
Yeah.
Football content, particularly with the quarterbacks.
What about the meetings at the mound? Wouldn't everybody be dying to hear what the meetings at the mound are all about?
That would be fantastic. That'd be really fantastic. When the manager comes to the mound, what's actually discussed?
Yeah. It's good stuff. All right, it's The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, Jim, like Danny said, excited to be here for Jim. And they couldn't be giving this award to a better guy that's persevered, especially through the last 5-6 years and what he's been through. And also persevered what he did during his career and the Super Bowls that he went to. And so, you know, he's come so far. And, you know, it couldn't go to a more fitting guy tonight.
Well, I will agree with John Elway about that. Jim Kelly will be honored with the Perseverance Award at the ESPYs, and knowing Jim for a significant amount of time back in my Buffalo days, Chad, and couple of his brothers, and now we run into Chad Kelly, and yeah, it's a great family. Great family, and what Jim and his wife Jill have had to go through, first of all, with their oldest son Hunter, who sadly passed away at 14 years of age from a horrible, horrible disease. He lived much longer than expected, but still, it was tough. And, you know, and then having to go through, you know, what Jim's personally gone through, battling cancer multiple times, is brutal. So he's got all my admiration. You know, he was the first guy I ever really covered. Talk about a leader, man.
Great leader.
He was just the captain of, like, everything. I mean, I don't care. Like, we're going out tonight. Jim's in charge.
Yep.
We're going to play bocce ball. He used to have a bocce ball tournament at his house before training camp. He would invite the whole team and media, everybody, to his house for a bocce ball tournament.
That's awesome.
Like, as a way to kick off the season.
That's what leaders do. Get us together.
Love Jim. Love Jim as a leader. Loved him as a player. Breaks my heart that he never was able to win a Super Bowl, and I sold him two snowmobiles that my wife won on the Price is Right.
Small world. Training camp was in Edinburgh? Where was it?
No, it was Edinburgh. Edinburgh is like in Scotland. It's oh my God, you're killing me. No.
Edinburgh is where one NFL team has a training camp.
No, it's not. It's something like that. Oh my Lord.
They're
in Rochester now, but it used to be, it was south. Oh, I can see the college in my head.
Yes, yeah,
you're
college.
So freaking close.
Yes.
Fredonia.
We used to, the
it
Steelers.
It was Fredonia.
The Steelers would go up and do like 2 days of practices with them.
Yeah, Fredonia College. Fredonia. Mm-hmm. Which is, yeah, St. John Fisher, I believe, is in Rochester. Yeah. It was in Fredonia for many, many years.
So, yeah, as a young NFL player going up to scrimmage the Buffalo Bills in the preseason.
Yeah, that's probably about a,
Bruce Smith,
probably a three-hour drive. You couldn't. Did you fly or did you just take a bus up there?
We just took a bus.
Yeah, it's probably about a three-hour drive. Yeah,
hear about the newest update from Jim Kelly?
What's that?
He will travel to New York City next month for an unexpected checkup after, quote, something came up during his recovery from surgery from oral cancer.
Yeah, I read about that
Jim
yesterday.
Jim Kelly said Tuesday during a football clinic that his visit will take place in the second week of August, according to ESPN. He said for now, it's just a checkup.
Okay.
Fingers crossed, Jim.
I will tell you this, you know, boys and girls or parents out there. One thing Jim Kelly loved to do was chew. He had a dip going the vast majority of times I saw him. So it's a bad habit, man. Stay away from it.
Yeah.
I'm sure if he had to do it over again, he'd make different choices.
Did you ever dip?
No.
Try it.
No, thank you.
Not one time.
No. Dip?
Yeah.
No. Dip seems like I've only smoked a cigarette maybe two or three times in my life.
Never dip, never had a chew, leafy chew, none of that?
Nope, none of it. Have you?
I've done
Did
chew.
For
I've
a
done
little bit.
Dip. I have smoked one cigarette in my life. The chew thing, I tried a couple of times. Each time it usually made me really, really vomitly sick.
Yeah.
Vomitrociously sick.
Vomitrociously sick. Yeah, I never got it.
There was a phase at CU, my roommate dipped. So when we had the movies on Friday night at the hotel, I would put a little dip in before the game and mellow out during the movie. But then by the time I got to my room, I'm like, I just don't feel very good.
Yeah, I just didn't get it. I don't think anybody gets it. I think it's an addictive, you know, thing.
It's clearly addictive.
You just keep doing it and you just don't even know why.
Yeah, what I didn't like was my roommate leaving his spit cups all around.
Yeah, sadly, Kent Hull.
Yes.
You know Kent at all?
Center for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yeah.
Had the strap on the back of his helmet, which is always unusual.
Very close with Jim. Died at a young age. Was a big dipper, too. Big chewer. Did all that stuff. I don't know why it's so popular amongst offensive linemen, but it seems to be. It's just a terrible.
It's a crap.
All right, anyways, bumming everybody out. Don't do it. What else we got from Elway there, Big Sexy? Anything else that's interesting?
Well, I mean, what I remember of Jim is the toughness. He's shown the toughness now, you know, after his career. But during his career, he was one of those guys that, you know, you had to play for 60 minutes before you knew that you're going to be able to beat him, because he was going to hang in there. He was tough. He'd hang in the pocket, didn't move a lot, and really took some shots. And so he was a guy that you knew that, you're going to have to bring your lunch pail and stay after because he was not going to give up.
Okay. Cool. He's right. Couldn't agree with John more on that. See? There you go. Me and John Elway, buddies. Terry, you're on the fan. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Super.
I tell you what, I'm doing super, too.
Awesome.
You know, something, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, wow. Case Keenum, you know, I have to say this. I feel for the guy because John Elway mispronounced his name. Case Cheesum. On the
Terry, what time did happy hour start for you, Terry? What time did you get going today?
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. What? Go ahead. Finish what you're going to say.
Well, you know, and then, you know, a young lady that's a reporter said Chase Keenum. Now,
yes.
What do you really want to talk about? As far as the draft, I think that's sad. We're nationally, you know, they're saying we're sitting at about 70%. I'm thinking an A minus. You know, I like who we drafted.
Yeah.
You know, as far as Bradley Chubb.
Uh-huh.
On and on and on. You know, as far as, you know, our running backs, Olshott.
Yeah.
That's a wow.
Wow.
Fair enough.
Hi, Terry. Great to hear from you. I think we could probably just ride this out the rest of the way here, Big Sexy.
What happened there?
Well, Terry's from, like, either Maryland or maybe Pittsburgh or someplace where they say, oh.
No, Pittsburgh, they say Ewins.
Ewins. So that, maybe that's a Maryland thing. The oh, Baltimore, you know. And I think Terry started drinking around 2:30 or so this afternoon. And, you know, as he was practicing, it all made sense. But then he realized this.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane.
Come on now.
It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5:00 somewhere.
But as far as I'm concerned, Terry was the best caller we had all day today. So thank you, Terry. You made the show better. And as long as you make the show better, you don't have to make any sense. We're not teaching a lecture here, you know that, Chad? You know what I'm saying?
Clearly.
Nobody gets graded here. Please, Terry, call tomorrow.
This is not high-level radio.
And if you want to know how to make a great, impactful phone call, study how Terry did it. And when you all figure that out, call this radio show, because you know why?
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane.
We're on Facebook, Sam.